Blog Talk Radio.
The Young Cash from the Outlaw. It's your boy Al Capone.
What's up, and it's Bootleg the Rock Capone from the Dayton family.
Baby, this is your boy Uncle Luke.
What up, y'all? This is E-Shop.
Yo, 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 what's up? This is your boy C-Murder, and I'm chilling with my boy Scott Bader, and you're listening to the Murder Master Music Show. It's the hottest thing out right now, you heard me? Keep it true.
Keep it true. See, Murder. Hopefully he gets let out of prison, man. He's been in there for a long time, and there's so many things pointing in his favor and his innocence. Even people coming forward now saying that they lied. They were under police pressure. And it's like, come on,
right.
Let them out. There's no need to even, they just be pulling that bullshit. If they exonerate him and prove his innocence, hopefully he can sue the hell out of them. I mean, they should be looking at it from that standpoint, too.
Exactly. Taking years away from people. Exactly.
Let the guy come home. Tonight on the show, this is episode 210. We're just rolling through, man. It seems like it was just yesterday. It was episode 200. We had a big round table. We also have a round table this Thursday. Episode 211 is Left Straight Outta Compton round table. It's going to be a Compton round table of all the artists. I saw the movie Straight Outta Compton. I thought it was a dope film. I really did. I liked it. But I remember buying Easy Does It, all those records when I was a kid. I'm saying in 88, 89, 90, I bought 100 Miles of Running. I knew about the Cocaines and the Dirty Reds. There's a lot of people that should have been in the film that weren't in the film. And some people were just barely mentioned. Like, when you see the DOC in there, he's only in there for, 2 minutes? Not even. But let's bring on our guest tonight. This guy, he needs no introduction, but we're going to give him one anyway. Mac, you reached out to him. You introduced this cat. Tell everybody who he is.
Yeah, I just felt like this right here, we had to get him on and tell his story, man, with this OG Sin Lope from the Bloods and Crips banging on wax from back in the day. And for all you cats out there that don't know nothing about this album, this was a monumental album to me because it showed guys from opposition ways doing some shit together, you know what I'm saying? And
there he is.
The truth, so here we go.
OG Sin Lope, how you doing, man?
Oh, what's up, fam? I'm all right. I'm standing. How about y'all?
We doing good, man.
Real talk.
Honored to have you on the show. Mac just saying some real shit, man. This, the first Banging on Wax album, it really displayed unity. And growing up in and around Chicago area, Chicago is just full of gangs. You can't go certain areas, just like in Los Angeles and whatnot. So it was good to see that type of unity. It had hope for others in other neighborhoods and other areas thinking, man, if they can do it, why can't we over here? Or why can't we down in Alabama or Mississippi? So we definitely commend you guys on doing that. Here we are, man, more than 20 years later. What's it like in the streets of Compton right now? Is shit getting any better?
It's like, it's still the streets, you know what I mean? It got better towards those who learned from what we did and realized there's evolvement available for you when you growing up as a kid and content. Because most of the shit, we can curse, huh?
Oh, yeah. You know whatever the fuck you want.
Oh, okay. I ain't like a bit of cursor, but most of the streets, when you're growing up, of course, in the urban community, it's the territory comes with your life. You know, you grow up, like my teacher said, I was a bad kid in junior high, and I just jumped up out of nowhere and had a United States flag, slam dunk on it, and pulled it down. Well, like 10 years later after I graduated, I saw that music teacher. I had to apologize to him, like, I'm sorry for you know, in the classroom. And she said, oh, you know, it's understandable. It comes with the community and how you grew up and where you grew up at. And that
yeah.
stuck with me because it's true. I moved my kids out of Compton when they were born. I moved them over to a few cities over, to which is Bellflower. And I raised them up out there. Even though I'm always in Compton, where I grew up at, we still got the house there. But my kids turned out totally different.
Yeah.
I mean, totally different, night and day, from what I grew up from. And you could tell it was the community that they grew up in. I mean, Bellflower is kind of rough now, but 10 years ago, maybe even 20 years ago when I moved out here, moved the kids out here, they turned out way different, man. They finished school good, didn't no games. Hell, my daughter 21 and don't even got a boyfriend.
Hey, that's the way I want to keep it with mine. Mine's about to be 13. You know, she could be well into her 30s before she gets a boyfriend.
You know?
And I feel you. It's night and day. It's night and day, man. My kid's in the fucking beta club. You know, I couldn't even go into the front door at the school. Or if I did go in the front door, I went out the side door like an idiot, you know, like a dumb fuck. So it's good
to
see your kids, you know what I'm saying, do better than you. You know, that's what we all aspire to be as parents, man, you know. So real talk,
right.
You know, commend you on being a great father. I already see that.
Real talk.
You know, but, you know, this rap game is, it's gone through some fucked up phases. Right now, I feel that a lot of the building blocks in hip-hop are being not only taken out and desecrated, but they're being mocked. The people are jacket styles, and they're not even paying homage. You come from an era, you know what I'm saying, where you had to pay homage to those before you. You had to recognize the legendary MCs before you. Coming up as a kid, how important was it for you to preserve the legacies of those before you?
Oh, man. We talking Jimmy Splicer, Super Rhymes, you know. We talking Rapper's Delight. We talking Blondie. We talking before it transitioned over. And that's coming out of New York and Detroit and stuff like that. But as a kid, it really grabbed me. It grabbed my attention, and it helped me because I was listening to K-Day all the time. I remember listening to the mix masters, all the DJs, and that's, first of all, let me give some credit to all the DJs, you know, from the east to the west, because without them sending our music, we would never even understand what true MC is about. Second of all, let me wish my big cousin, Eric Eazy-E Wright, a happy birthday. Rest in the glory of the Heavenly Father. Big cousin, we love you and we miss you dearly. And it's not a day that don't go by that we're not thinking about you and praying for the family and all loved ones lost. All right. And let me give some glory to the Heavenly Father for all of us being able to be here today and talk about that. But yeah, man, growing up as a kid, music was a big influence from Dolemite, you know, rhyming without a beat, you know, poetry, basically. And then the funk era, the Parliaments, and, you know, Funkadelic and Curtis Mayfield and, you know, on and on with all the funk that had your head bobbing. And almost making you want to kick some flow, but you don't know how to start it. You know what I mean? You really, it wasn't
right.
It wasn't in, but the funk was in. It was right there on the tip, you know. And once it got discovered, oh man, it was gangsters. We came up hood, but we boogied. We was pop locking. You know what I mean? Locking. You know, that was part
right.
of the street culture, man. Music and graffiti and all that. It's a part of the street culture, man, indeed. So, yeah, it was big for me as a kid. I think that's the only reason that one part of the reason that drove me and Dr. Dre, all that, we all grew up in the same part of town. it drew us all towards where we are today, you know.
Right, with Eazy-E being your cousin and you growing up with him and everything, when did you know that, like, when they first really got on the scene that you knew, like, damn, man, my cousin and them, they really doing this shit? And did that, is that what motivated y'all to do y'all Bloods and Crips album too? Was being able to see Eazy build up?
Yeah, it was definitely inspiration. And, you know, Eazy, Dre, Ren, DJ Speed, DJ Train, all of them guys, is we all like family by backyards. We all grew up together, went to elementary school, junior high, high school, all together. And and Dre and Eazy, they had a DJ group together called the High Power DJ Crew. And they would make mixtapes. Dre, Eazy, boy named Shane, Donald D. They had a little mixing crew together, and they was the neighborhood DJs. They DJed the Sweetheart Dance at my junior high. I got the yearbook. I got to get those pictures out. I was the Prince, Sweetheart Prince that year. And Eazy and Dre was on the tables DJing, rocking that party. And, man, then after that, it just seemed like by the time we got in high school, 12th grade, Rim was coming over to be a part of my DJ crew. E&M was starting to transition. You know, Dr. Dre had started doing the thing with Lonzo, and E was still hustling hard. And then all of a sudden, I started hearing something about E&M having a NWA group, forming that group. And E used to, his sister used to always tell me, my brother said, come over today. He's going to be over to mom's house. And I used to pass by the house and go across the field to go sell rocks, which everybody, young kids, 16 years old, making $400 or $500 in a couple of hours. It was hard for me to just go over E house when I can go across the field and make that quick money real quick. I had the same hustle he had in him and me. I was choosing that before me, you know. But one day, Eazy told me to come around there, and I walked around there. I was saved right around the corner from him. I walked around there. He got Ice Cube in the yard. He said, I want you to hear something. And he put play in his car, and he played Gangsta Gangsta for me. I looked over at Ice Cube. I mean, before he played Gangsta Gangsta for me, you know, I was hooded. I looked at Ice Cube, and he was frowning, looking hard. I'm like, man, you ain't got to look all like that. You cool. You in the area where you're going to be all right. You know, mellow out. He laughed it off. We started laughing. But then when Eazy pressed play and played that Gangsta Gangsta, I looked over at Q. I looked inside E car again. Then I looked over at E, and I said, man, that's going to be a hit. That's going to be a fucking hit. It was hard. That shit right there kind of lifted me up. It seemed like maybe 2 months later, everything started unfolding. That thing, I started hearing Ren was over there hanging out with him. And, you know, Ren went over there. They asked him, did he want to be from the group? He started off just going taking some pictures with him and shit. They asked him, did he want to be from the group? And he was a talented writer. So, shit, it just unfolded from there. But yeah, he got my spot. I believe when E was telling me to come over there and I was passing up that, going to sell rocks, E was trying to, you know, get me involved. And I was a DJ at the time, too. He used to like the way I scratch on the table. So I was inspired by E and them when they was doing their DJ thing, because once they started doing NWA things, me and the Underworld Connection, from that group, the Steady Dippin' crew, we all took over as the neighborhood DJs. And when E and M started doing the NWA thing, we took over as the neighborhood DJs where they left off at. We was a TVS crew, and we had about six different DJ crew names before we got it right. But, yeah, E&M, they lifted us up when they did that. And it made it possible for us to believe that they started taking off, you know.
Yeah.
And by the time we was hanging out at the video shoots, and we was around the whole NWA too for as long as it was going on, man. We was all at the videos. I was a bartender in Michelle. shall exist no more lies. If you look at that, you're going to see bald head dude wiping the counter down. I was really serving drinks, had everybody drunk. That motherfucker.
You know?
He did a video. I was in there. Was in the half the crew was in Straight Outta Compton. Was always at the parties and everything. So, yeah, I mean, that was family, backyard homies, and everything else. And when they took off, like I said, it was anticipated. The neighborhood, that was the first group to me. When they took off, my neighborhood was their biggest fans. Everybody from the neighborhood bought their CDs, played their music, supported what they did for a very, very long time.
Yeah, still to this day, pretty much. You know what I'm saying? With the with the release of the movie, like a whole another generation of people that didn't know nothing about them, at least get a chance to see some of the things you guys already lived and some of the things we seen as growing
right.
up.
Yeah, man, straight out of Compton.
That was like a good time for us as kids. Me and Prez, we were around the same age, so you know what I'm saying? We was like fifth, sixth grade coming up, like sneaking to listen to those albums. Like,
right,
my grandmother
right.
can't hear me listening to this shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to get fucked up if I get caught with this, but those was the songs and those was the soundtracks of our lives, man. So
you
right. always salute y'all, especially if y'all still making music. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always say that.
Mm-hmm. No, that's real, man.
Which like, was bring me to the actual about how the Bloods and the Crips banging on wax kind of came together. Was it just some neighborhood guys that decided to come together and do some music, or was it like some just on like some straight business and everybody was trying to showcase what they had going on at the time?
Well, a lot of that we're working on a movie and a documentary that's going to answer really a whole bunch of those questions that a lot of people have about the banging on wax. But what I can share mm-hmm. with you is that believe it or not, the NWA movement, Easy and them, and Dre and them, and that transition to Death Row movement, all that stuff really kind of sprung banging on wax. I'll tell you why and tell you how. Easy was very interested in us in the neighborhood as being a part of that ruthless name. Me, Blue Rag, Do or Die, At Will. We had that little group thing going, and he was interested in us. But what happened was, by them having mishap amongst each other on paperwork and all this old stuff, like Q was saying, they managed to miss the opportunity of dealing with us. He got caught up with that, and before you know it, they was breaking up. Well, my boy Tweety Bird Lowe, we never knew the inside of them breaking up. We kind of had an idea of something was going on, but before they broke up, my boy Tweety Lowe took it personal because he grew up with them too, and he just as much his family to them as I am. And he got highly upset. He got highly upset at them because he felt like they didn't come back to the neighborhood and try to hook up. At least us, we used to beat on the walls and rap at the same time, scratch at the dice games, and everybody used to love it. They were like, damn, them niggas is hard, man. They kicking flow, beat, making beats. They used to, when we come up to the park, Kelly Park, and the dice game is fun, they look up and like, go ahead and do some of that music y'all be doing. So Tweety Bird started working on an album. He had wrote a song called What's Really Going On. You can find it on YouTube. And he served Tim Dog. He served NWA. I mean, he ripped everybody's colon clean apart with this one song. And he only had that one song. And he called my cousin Blue Rag, and he was like, hey, I'm working on an album. Won't y'all come up here? And so we went up there. And let me remind you, I could rhyme back then, but I really wasn't rhyming. I was really in the deep end. Hell, we were in the studio with Tweety Bird Lowe. I went in the booth and kicked some freestyle to this one. He come talk a little shit. Yeah, it was like my I was like, you know, I can't rap, but with that freestyle, everybody got hyped up. They made that a song. Next thing you know, we recorded and finished Tweety Bird Lowe's album. And about 8 cage. We had him full of cuts on his song, on his animal, coming out the cage. Excuse my diss French, but fuck the South Bronx. I mean, we had songs like that, Checking Tim Dog, because he said fuck Compton. I mean, you know, And then once that got finished, we didn't realize it was supposed to have been like paperwork issues and stuff, you know. We didn't realize it was supposed to have been the business side of it. So that record halfway came out. Dre and them didn't really, Easy and them didn't really respond to it. Matter of fact, by the time that record came out, E and Dre and them even broke up. Now Dre is over at Death Row. And my boy tweeted her note, took that What's Really Going On song over to Death Row. And he asked Dre, he was like, Dre and them heard it and was like, ooh, shit. It was like, well, take my name out. Dre said, take my name out. Take Michelle A's name out. Take VT's name out. You can leave Easy and then we can do something. And my boy Tweety Bird Logue was like, nah, that shit got to stay the same the way it is. And it got quiet in there. Like a Western standoff. And they were like, nah, we can't fuck with it. So we went, the studio we was working out of was right around the corner from Death Row. So we went, you know, to the lab and continued to finish his album up and put that out. Well, anyway, Easy and them. Everybody felt like, oh, that they didn't want to answer back. So they didn't want to give it no time. So they didn't answer back to it. They was like, oh, it ain't going to do nothing. And it didn't. I mean, you know, my homeboy rode up and saw Cuban Gooding Jr. driving down the street in one of them valleys playing Coming Out the Cage. I mean, that was cool, but you know, as far as thought-wise, it didn't do nothing. It didn't make noise. So what ended up happening is I was at the house because I was raising my kids at the time. You know, I was playing fatherhood. And Blue Rag, Tweety Bird, believe Red Rum, Few Cats. And matter of fact, we had production on both sides on Tweety Bird Logue album. We had some guys by the name of Captain Geek and Noise. They was from Bloodstone Villains, but them motherfuckers, excuse my French again, but they was hard on making some tracks. Ooh-wee. They was hard on making, and then we had DJ Battlecat, which is, you know, the Crip. So we had the production was Blood and Crip already. The signs were there already. And then Red Rum was the artist of one of the guys that hung around. He was their artist. He was this dude's artist. So it was kind of already, the sign was there. But anyway, we make a long story short, we needed another idea. We needed to do something. This in Tweety Bird Logue. We needed to make some noise. And I got to give that credit to Tweety Bird Logue. They said we needed to do something banging, you know. We needed to do something banging. And we had some Bloods and we had some Crips on the production. We had some Bloods and some Crips or hanging around. So they came with the title Banging on Wax, man. Called me, my blue rag called me like, D. We got new shit we finna move on. And they said, and he told me it was Banging on Wax, Bloods and Crips. I said, I fucking hit the floor, man. I said, that's the fucking biggest fucking idea you can ever in your fucking life come up with. Now, the whole thing was about getting some real Bloods and Crips around, because if it would have been some fake people around trying to pull that off, you know, this record, these videos and this record was all in the jailhouse. And motherfuckers started calling hoods. Calling hoods, finding out it's such and such from your hood. Do y'all know him? Do you know him? And if we didn't check out, we'd be dead to this day.
Yeah. It was crazy. Yeah, I remember the record too. I mean, you guys were unified, but you guys were dissing the shit out of each other at the same time. But it was
now,
on
that
way.
Was a whole nother it was that on was a way. Whole other thing too, because it was, we was dissing each other at the same time, but we was in the studio together recording that shit. I mean, I would go in there and smoke big weed and sit down in there and listen to some of the music while they recording and be like, ooh. And they do the same with us, you know. But don't get me wrong, we got some shit for the movie, because it was when we first got together to break the ice and before we started recording and getting motherfuckers together, shit, niggas was showing up with guns, Bloods and Crips. I was outside with my 12 gauge, like, man, because I saw other people have guns. It's like, shit, it's like that. I got a one shot elephant in 12 days. That one shot will blow like half your body off. It'll take an elephant down. And with sawed off.
Did you? And I was. Did you know, have a mask? Did you had the Freddy mask on when you were standing outside with it?
Man, you know, yeah, I actually did. I had a couple of masks because I used to scare people on Halloween. I had the Myers, the Jason. I had the collection of masks, Chainsaw, and I brought a few masks because I didn't know how things was going to turn at first. But I said this to say that. Said that to say this. Once we, matter of fact, Blue Rag, I got to give him a lot of credit because he broke ice. He came in there, he was drunk off of 40, and he came in there like, you know, you can say fuck crap, because I'm going to say fuck slob, you know, and everybody laughing. He broke the ice and got us laughing, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And once we started kind of laughing and realizing, you know, that we're here to actually to pull this project off, the guns stayed at home. Niggas bringing their guns because they realized wasn't nobody really set tripping.
There's no need to pull off history.
Yeah.
Right.
That's to me, that's a movie. I'm telling you, that's a fucking movie right there. We're gonna get back to that. I just wanna backtrack a minute to Straight Outta Compton. I wanna get your thoughts on that real quick. Was the depiction of your cousin Easy, was it accurate, do you feel?
Oh, man, Straight Outta Compton. I'll tell you like this. First of all, you can never tell me Easy contracted AIDS and died of AIDS. He was murdered. Let me get that out the way right offhand. He was murdered. I had a brother, 31 years old, who died of AIDS. And he had it for 15 years. And he went looking from like a young man to an 81-year-old man. At 31, he started looking like an 81-year-old man. His legs stopped working first. Then he couldn't talk no more. Then he actually died. He didn't get
so
this out of
you saw the whole thing. Yeah, I've seen people with cancer, which is similar, but you've seen the whole process.
I've seen the whole process.
He died in 30 days. How does anyone explain that?
Right, exactly. Now, as far as the movie and the accuracy, I say about 65% of it was real. As far as Easy in the studio, man, I can't rap. Y'all gotta say that. You know what I mean? I seen that part was real. You know, Easy being a hustler, that part was real. You know, the Tyree, you know, Dre's brother, we knew him, we went to school with him. A lot of that stuff was real. But as far as he loved his family and his kids. He called his mama every day. He loved his kids. He was just as good his father as me. And they didn't really cover nothing, him being a family. They didn't even cover him. They made it like he started selling weed afterwards and all that and being kind of broke and all that, when in reality he had more groups. I bought his music when he started going solo. You know, he was built like a tank, man, and he was a hustler. He was getting them groups together and still coming with good music. He had Bone Thugs and Harmony and all this other shit still going. So to me, the inaccuracy started changing. I don't know where they were pulling, or maybe it was a body snitching going on basically on how he actually died. I don't know if they're swinging it for Jib's way or whatever, you know, but it's already done and it happened already. But it's just sad that money had to rip everybody, all these famous and top-of-the-line groups apart like that. And it wasn't only just N.W.A., hell, EPMD went through it. You
Two
know?
Live Crew.
Hell, Run DMC went through it. Two Live Crew, you know what I mean? And then, of course, we did the Bang on Wax, you know? I mean, it was just a shame that all of us had to sacrifice our learning ability, knowledge to the music system. And these companies wasn't trying to tell you and teach you about none of this. What you didn't know, they was making money off of, you know?
Right, exactly.
And then we young kids, it's just like a young kid coming up on a dope sack. You ain't going to tell your mama, I got something in the room that'll make all this, that'll make $800 an hour while she going to work, working 8 hours just to bring home $60. You ain't going to go tell them. So that's the way the companies is looking. We ain't going to say nothing. And if they don't know how much, and we don't know nothing about lawyers. Our parents wasn't really supporting rap music like that. They didn't even know. They like, you better go get you a job.
Right, out of sight, out of mind. Right, you hear me?
Yeah. You know, yeah, the Straight Outta Compton movie was a good movie from a fan point of view, but yeah, I grew up with these guys, been around their success as they had it and lost it, spread it out or whatever, and I can truly say that from a homie point of view, it's a lot of pieces missing, a lot of pieces missing, but you only can put so much in that much time, you know, you only can show so much in a movie in that much time. But it's a lot of pieces missing, and like I said, far as E, I can't say that was on point about him. You know, it was a good movie, good acting or whatever, but it wasn't on point about E at some point, you know.
Yeah.
Something wasn't right, and I felt that way. I thought I was going to cry when I was at the premiere, but I ended up being a little bit upset and leaving kind of pissed off, you know, like, huh, man, that ain't right. That ain't right. But, you know,
yeah.
I talk to his kids and stuff. We stay connected, and I support them and the family, you know, and I let them know often that I love them, and I know that their dad's watching over us, and he's a part of our success right now. And what we're doing with our music independently. So I just try to keep them grounded, you know, by showing love.
And not to cut you off, but that's what it's all about right there. That's what I felt. I felt that the story, and we've said this on the show, you know, long before the movie came out, it's being produced by the two people that left the label. So, of course,
right.
It's going to be biased. And I would rather see an Easy Does It movie, because you got to think about it. He's the roots of the tree. Now, not to say that can't take nothing away from Dre, Cube, and everybody else, but that was the motherfucker that got the ball rolling.
Right.
Rest in peace to Easy E, definitely. Let's see who we got on the line.
Yeah,
here.
Happy birthday
out of LA.
Happy birthday to
Easy,
Yes, I got a question for the brother y'all interviewing tonight. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, sir, man. I know you live in Compton and everything, but I live in downtown Los Angeles, and we got a lot of posers down here. Back in the day, would y'all allow these fake motherfuckers to come through downtown L.A.?
No, man. You know, back in the day, everything was super territorial. If you can come walking through the hood, and if we didn't know you, and we asked you where you from, and you talking about you banging Jesus, you with Jesus, you still got your ass kicked. And I mean, it's sad. I've seen it done. But it was, you had to know somebody, you had to be somebody, it was just sad that you would be at the wrong place at the wrong time. So I could answer that. The answer to that is no. You couldn't just come do that. You couldn't come post up. We don't know you. We ain't gonna work.
Okay.
Yeah. What's changed in 2015? What do you see differently than what you saw when you were younger?
Well, first of all, what I see is that the streets has dried up. There's nothing
Thanks
to be out there for. Yeah, there's nothing to be out there for. You know, he was out there once, not only just gang bang and be idiots out there. We was out there hustling, you know, hustling that paper. Not the drugs in the community. Instead of we find a way to spend and sell it. I don't brag on it. There's nothing to brag about, but it is definitely a life experience that I went through, and that was one of the main reasons I was out there. I was a hustler. I was DJing. I was moving, you know, hustling, and Everybody else that was out there was doing the same thing, you know. It just, it turned over from, it got kind of boring out there making all that money, and everybody is not investing in nothing like house and properties. Easy was the one investing in the music, but everybody couldn't rap or nothing. So everybody started, like, buying cars, spending
$10,000. Is that you there?
Yeah, somebody keep breaking up.
Yeah, oh, Shin, you breaking up, bro. Yeah.
All right, let me fix. All right, how are we doing?
Oh, there you go, there you go.
Yeah, you sound.
Yeah, it just made the person that didn't have it want to take it from the next man that do have it. I'm saying that's
sure.
How that turned out when everybody started making that money and being out there on the streets, and they got bored with it. They were buying $20,000 worth of sounds in their car. No alarm, you know, buying clothes, big chains and all that. They was living like the rapper. They was living like the sports player. And that to me got boring to them, meaning that they should have took that money and went to school now, you know, took some of that money, invested in some property, you know, bought a wash house or something. But instead, they started buying stuff that other people couldn't have, and then that made it where – it started where people started being scandalous. They used the word scandalous back then, where they started, you know,
yeah.
Jackie for your shit. You know, then you had some of the actual hustlers start using. You know, they still had their sense. They still had their tough mentality, but they became smokers. So they became scandalous, too. And they know, you know, your big homie know where your stash is because he's your big homie, but he's scandalous because he smokes now. So, I mean, you know. It all went bad in one big circle.
Yeah, and you see it time and time again. A lot of people like you look at Chicago right now. It's horrible. You know, Camden, New Jersey. I mean, all over the United States. You know, there's 30,000 murders a year, and you think about it. This is 25, 30 years ago. We're talking about things should have gotten better. They're getting worse. What the fuck is going on? You know, it's crazy. It's crazy. But
yeah,
hey, let's give him some music, OG Sinlok. Let's give him a track real quick. This one you sent me, Treading Water. What can you tell him about that?
Oh man, Treading Water. That comes off that album. That come off my Smell the Smoke and See the Fire album. And I wrote that album in 1999. And I went around the record company trying to get a deal for that album, and these record companies took a listen and they turned me down, and they wasn't trying to mess with nobody from the Bloods. After the Tupac and the Biggie and all the Death Row and everything, they wasn't trying to mess with nobody named Sinlok from the Bloods and Crips banging on wax. So they turned me down. But Treading Water is really a song based on, you hear Treading Water, you hear Still Rolling, that Smell the Smoke and See the Fire album. You listen to that album, you get to really know me and a portion of what happened in my life, and Treading Water is one of them. One of the songs that define me and my life and my hustle and what I'm about. If you check it out, what I went through, all of them in that 4-minute song, you'll get a picture about me.
Oh, definitely. Let's check it out right now. We'll be right back right here in the Murder Master Music Show.
Wes.
Thank you. stuck up in the game, straight struggling. And motherfuckers clown like a circus when it come to juggling. I got to keep my head above this motherfucking water. To the damn shit that people be pulling becomes an altar. I got to hold my ground, fourth and goal in the stand. I hit you with reality so you can understand. Before me and my homie hit this game, we was struggling. From slanging back to working that GR, we was hustling. I fish a bottle of water, I'm spinning for mine. And let the Lord be my witness, what I do is no crime. I shoot this shit with you, but I got to keep on moving so I can step up and better when niggas are still losing. Retrace the game and draw my lines with God so I can come up on these dollars and charge them before I ride. So if you feeling evil, then your shit might falter. You better go get with Jesus, cause nigga, I'm treading water right now. Up in the broken home. Some had mothers, some had fathers, but the sin stood all alone. Living my life as a troubled kid. The mentally disturbed, it kept me from crashing over at mom's crib. The child abuse made my body so nervous. My choices was to be from the hood or join the service. So far from my mother, I love her the same. So far from my father, I joined in the game. My great aunt was my guidance that soon became a problem. I was growing and I needed more formula in the bottle. A fish up out of water, it's time to fin. A baby bird fall out the nest, get to flapping them wings. Only catch up in your way to make your path a little harder. Get you caught up in the middle of the pool, spreading water. We got to take control of our life and quit juggling. And try to bring some love and unite to quit the struggling in this game. I'm treading water right now. I tread water, nigga. Walk around with so much pain in my heart, I'm humble. The best of all my niggas making fumbles, and it hurts. It makes me want to make it out to their funeral and show how much I love them by drinking a glass of burial dirt, and that confirms how they did it. It makes the evil spirits come out and the drama hit the whole city. Don't want to die, be buried alive. That's when you struggle for your life and your vision is saying bye to you. Just keep the faith and you're bound to see Jesus. I dedicate these steps that I'm making for these reasons. Lord, let me be the bread and faith of my child. And if you send us all some blessings, I'ma collect it and smile. Amen. I heard your face and I feel you, homie. It's good to know somebody grew up in the game with no phony. Cause at this day and age, with the times getting harder, we're left no other choices to do but tread this damn water. I'm treading water right now. I tread water, nigga. I tread water. I'm treading water right now.
Yeah, 1999. Staying above water. Holding that breath. Learning to swim. Catching the rhythm of the stroke, baby. Yeah. Dark side, Mr. St. Louis. Black Jason. Untouchable.
What I'm talking about, man. It's
that wacko shit right there.
Some G-funk. G-funk.
Yeah.
What's lacking right now? Now, you're Easy E's first cousin. What was it like growing up? You know, did you look up to him? Or?
Well, shit, he seemed like he was always shorter than me.
You had to look down to him. Yeah.
But no, he was real cool, man. He was a hustler. He was athletic. He could flip. He was a comedian. He had a very great sense of humor. And he used to hang out and run with my wife's brother. He used to run and hang out with him. So he used to always come on the block, hop the gate, hop the fence, come down the block, come hang out with Tucker. And you know, he was a person. I definitely respect it, you know, growing up, and especially when he became a DJ, because he was just as good as any other DJ on the turntables, and he would make those mixtapes and sell them, and I'd sit right there on his mama porch. I was smart, because if you don't sit on the porch and wait for your tape to get made, they would have enough time to dub them and make copies of them. So I used to sit on the porch and wait for mine to get made, so they could maybe like,
right.
He's still sitting out there posted, so we need to go ahead and give him here so he can go ahead, you know. And I'll be the only one with that certain tape because I was waiting on it, you know. But no, he was a good person, man. Like I said, he was a great father. He cared for his kids. He'd bring them on the video sets, you know. E3, I've seen a lot when he was a little baby, and he would take care of his kids. He would love his mama, you know. He always called, and he always around in the house. Even when he started doing the music, he'd be coming over to the house. You know, I see the Astro van in the yard. I know to go ahead and go. I know he's there, you know. But yeah, he was a good dude, man.
Right.
Good people. I can truly say I did look up to him and respect him for who he was. That hustler, that cool person. He had scraps, you know. He wasn't no punk, but he a true hustler, man, and businessman. Businessman. That's what Easy is about.
Right.
So many people wouldn't be doing what they're doing today if it wasn't for him, you know.
Right.
Hell of a guy. You know, but here we are. I mean, you know, it's his birthday, 51st birthday. He would have been 51. You said earlier that you feel that he was murdered. We feel that way, too. We've asked several people who they feel their thoughts were on killing him. Now, lately, people have been pointing the finger at Suge Knight. He did say that on Kimmel. I mean, that was
right.
Real disrespectful. Do you have any thoughts or theories on who you think might have killed him?
Oh, man. That hurt my heart for him to say that on that talk show like that. And
yeah.
He identified it on how it's the new thing, how you can kill a person without going to jail and all this and that. You know, he put himself on that pedestal to be judged for that. And other than that, you know, it could be a few fingers pointed, but I just choose to leave it alone because I get emotional about even talking
yeah.
about it. It's torture to even watch the Straight Outta Compton movie because you know that it's more to it than the way they put it. But I think
yeah.
it was, like I said, a bit of by snitching there because when Easy
yeah.
went to the studio, in the movie, when Easy goes to the studio, Dre is not there. It's Suge and his boys. And Suge say, Dre ain't got nothing to do. He said, where Dre at? And Suge like, oh, Dre ain't got nothing to do with this. Well, I know who Suge didn't write that part. Somebody else wrote that part. And, you know, I know Dre and him is responsible for the movie. And maybe he's trying to get his name. Dre ain't got nothing to do with this, you know, that written in there.
Yeah.
You know, so like
yeah.
I say, it could be some dry snitching. I don't know, you know. But I know that after he made that visit, that he started getting sick.
Mm.
And I did a show with Easy right after DJ Train Channel. Me and Easy back up at DJ Train Channel, looked up there, we exchanged numbers. And then this is when 92 The Beat was still around, and Easy had the Ruthless Radio Show, and Dominique had Street Science, and Dominique hooked up with Easy to do a show on hers on the Street Science show, and it was called the show. The topic of that day was Studio Gangsters. So when I called Easy, and I said, "Hey man, I heard you doing a show on Street Science on Studio Gangsters," Easy was like, "You want to be on there?" I was like, yeah. He was like, okay. I'm going to call you back later on and give you directions and on what time to be up there and everything. And I still got the taping of that show, the audio taping of that show from that day. Nobody else never even released it. Dominique, nobody ever even claimed it or released it. It was funny because a little after we did that show, then Evie invited me to the Ruthless Radio Show. I showed up down there, but I didn't have no music ready. And he was so upset. He was like, "You ain't got no music ready for me to play." He was ready to, take me in, you know, take me, my cousin Blue Rag in. He's ready to take us in on some music and get us out there. But on the Street Science thing, he said he had artists that was on there. I was already out and everything. And we was the only ones that haven't did nothing since Banging on Wax. And this is what he said. "I got some outlets to putting some music out and stuff, so long as putting some records out, so long as it's some real stuff and staying true." Who you think he was talking to?
Right.
He was talking to me. He wanted to really get now that everything is out in the open. And when I came out the mask and Steady Dipping, he went crazy because he didn't know that was me. But when he saw it was me, matter of fact, he got a son named Dijon Marquise.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Dijon Marquise was named after me. My name is Dijon. My real name is Dijon. Easy called me once before we did the studio Street Science. And when I called him to be on the show, I called him and he said, "Who is this?" I'm like, "Dijon." He said, "Oh, there's only one Dijon." So you know what he was thinking. I never had no idea he was naming the kids after my name, but you know, he really think highly of me, and he knew I was gifted and talented, and of course I would have probably been out through him. But yeah, we did the Street Science, man, before he passed away, and then the Ruthless Radio Show, he offered me to do that. We came down and didn't have no demo. He was a little bit upset, and it seemed like 2 weeks later, I'm getting a call that he's in the hospital now, and it snowballed from there, man. It just, you know, I made a song straight from the heart. I dedicated it to him, and I mentioned that, you know, I mentioned about the Street Science and all that stuff in there. It's something, man.
Man, that's it's crazy. It's crazy, man. But you know, the good thing is there's people like Sergio over at EZCPT.com. You know, who did the documentary Ruthless Memories. I don't know if you've seen it, but he's interviewing a lot of different people in there. His daughter's working on a documentary. So it's good to see that the story is going to be told the right way.
Right. Yeah, man, I was trying to get at Sergio when he was doing that. I had I always tell people, if you're doing a documentary, I was around, been around. I got a voice. I got a voice from Compton's point of view, his homies, and the street point of view before all that. But they managed to finish up and wrap it up before they could even get with me, man. But at the same time, when I get ready to do the Life After Banging on Wax documentaries and the Banging on Wax movie and all that stuff, we'll definitely have a lot of stuff covered from that point, you know. We'll be able to cover easy.
Y'all history is important, man. Like, if anybody into hip hop for real, like, they can't tell hip hop tales without telling y'all stories. So that's why.
Yeah, you guys went gold, man. You guys sold a lot of records.
Mhm. And that's what that's another thing in the Straight Outta Compton movie. They basically, when that Rodney King rides, and then they show the red rag and the blue rag tied together and Blood and Crip holding it up in the air. That was basically us right there. You know, that was the Banging on Wax part in the movie right there. I laughed at that when I saw it. Like, oh, okay, I see. That's our part right there in so many words. You know, like I said, it's only so much you can put in a movie, but I kind of took it for what that was, you know. And they held back on so much stuff, though. They held back on all the groups that was a part of it. They held back on Easy's after all that with his groups, you know, with the Loaster and Dirty Red and them and everybody doing that.
Drake, Cocaine.
Yeah, you know.
Even Crazy, go back further to Crazy D and Rendezvous. And, you know, like, if Boys, if they show him doing Boys in the Hood, if that was the first song that he did, Well, you knew he did, you know, L.A. is the place and all those after that. Those cats could have been around in the scene. Arabian Prince could have been there. I mean, there's so many different.
Exactly.
You know, it's like the. And I wasn't even there. I was like Max said, I was in fifth grade trying not to get my tape stolen from the fucking teacher. You know? So, as fans, we can see the inconsistencies. I can only imagine how it is for you and other people like yourself who lived it. You know, but it's good you guys are doing a documentary too. When is it coming out?
Man, we still working on it. It's supposed to have been out, man. We supposed to have been done with it, but everything started taking different turns, and some of us wasn't all on the same page. But I think now we're coming to agreements now to where we're all getting on the same page, because it's basically we can't do it. One can't do it without the other. You know,
you guys all need to be there, I think.
Yeah, we all need to. What's left needs to be have the voice in it. You know what I mean? They can't do it without me. I can't do it without Rum. We can't do it without Tweety Bird. We can't do it without this. So, I talked to Tweety Bird today. Matter of fact, he just gave me a call at random, and that's the page he was on. He just chewed out some of the guys that was that took part in fucking over us with the banging on wax. He had found them and chewed them out, and then he gave me a call. And said that's what he was telling me. That's what he did, and he said that it's time for us to get back on it and go full fledged with it, with the movie and everything. So we just got to find that the front directors that want to be a part in it with us. I mean, we got the whole thing. Everything is written and tattooed in our brain and scarred in our heart from what we went through. So it won't be hard to do. You know, it's just about somebody seeing what they saw in NWA movie, man, and you're talking about another big history made movie. Shit, you know, get at us and you.
No, not to cut you off, but yeah, I mean, you guys are gonna have an insane movie, because think about it. Another thing that you guys I think influenced in the '90s was the HBO documentary Banging in Little Rock. You know what I'm saying? Because that came out after your album Banging on Wax. Also, shout out to the homie JT Money, 1999 album I had the pleasure of reviewing, Pimpin' on Wax. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of influence from you guys, man. A lot of influence. Your story definitely needs to be told some form or fashion, for sure.
Word uplifted.
You know, but
I remember having the red and blue tapes. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was like the first set of tapes that I had that was actual colors, because we didn't know nothing about Bloods and Crips. You know what I'm saying? Like, the only thing we knew about Bloods and Crips was watch movies, the colors, you know, the videos and the music. So like, when y'all albums came out, it gave people that's not from California or from areas that's got Bloods and Crip influence, it gave us insight on the types of shit that y'all was doing, which a lot of the same shit we was doing in the Chicagoland area too, but from a different point of view. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like different, same folks, different coasts or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Different coasts, but the same folks. You know.
It's just we traded your palm trees for 4 foot of snow.
Yeah.
Pretty much. You know,
right.
But it's yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. Let's give them another track, though, before, and then I want to come back and, you know, get all your social media and everything. What about this one here, Hear Me Knocking?
Oh, man, that's my first single ever, my first solo single ever, ever released, and it's, that's a cold one right there, man. I wrote that straight from the heart. I mean, I was down and out, and I felt like it's time to invest in myself and find a way to push my own music as an independent artist, label, everything. And I took the pad and pen, man. I bought that beat, Sip Cinema Productions. I bought that beat from them. Pretty good. They got some funk. And out of all the beats that they had, I chose that one. It was something about that one. And I wrote this song, and when you hear it, you'll know it's just like a equivalent to Tread Water. It's another one that it's a world song. I meant to write in songs that that will be around and relevant, stay relevant. They'll never die, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
Hit Me Knocking, one of them that you could play at any moment if you want to school somebody. If you want to school them, Hear Me Knocking. You know, I ask everybody to answer the door when they hear me knocking with this one right here.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. We'll be right back with OG Shinlock. Don't go nowhere. Nowadays, these rappers are pretty much trying to fit into the tightest jeans they can until their balls pop out of their eyebrows. But I mean,
why do you think Substance is not getting any kind of publicity, any radio play? All they're getting, the radio play, is this dumb, stupid shit that I can't relate to. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Well, to me, the radio stations, the record companies, when they started denying, when they first denied my Smell of Smoke and See the Fire album, which had songs that was related to the one you just heard, Hear Me Knocking, I had Treadwater, I had songs of turnaround and evolvement, but like I said, my name and the character and where I came from, they was ready to box out all of our music. They didn't want no more Tupac, no more Biggie. They didn't want no more none of us. They wanted to change this whole thing completely. And I think one reason is because the image of reality, gangster rap scared the record companies because, of course, the behavior of Suge Knight slapping up some of the record execs from Interscope, Ice Cube going inside, bashing up the tables and stuff with the bat, you know, all the little things like that that scared these record companies, and not to mention you didn't want to take a chance no more at getting somebody in your company like this. You set up a tour for them, and they ass got they on probation or they go to jail, and now you can't even do the tour. You can't hold up your part of the deals. You get up getting sued and all this stuff. So I think they wanted to get away from all this kind of rap, period, no matter if they didn't even want to take a listen to it and see the Chuck D's and, you know, the X-Clans, and they didn't want to give us a chance no more. They wanted to change it completely, and it went to songs of sex, ass, and rapping about ass and money and girls. Every video had nothing but girls in it and somebody portraying that they got all this damn money driving rental Rolls Royces and shit, and painting this picture, so that whole new generation of people growing up, that's all they saw. Instead of keeping original music around, like they should have kept the Yo MTV Raps around, they should have kept the Rap City around, and showed that at least 1 hour of a day, showing and just continue to show all the original music that the foundation was built on, so the generation can know where everything came from.
Every other genre, not to cut you off, every other genre does that. You know, they all pay homage to their the ones before them. Yeah, you don't see that. You don't see real classic hip hop things anymore. You know, there should be those compilations, man. Remember they Time Life or whatever, they would release, you know, 1950s greatest hits. Why don't they have '90s gangster rap Volume 1 or, you know?
Yeah,
they need to have shit like that.
Right. They felt like it was just like a fad thing, like how the skinny jeans rolled in, and next thing you know, you start seeing all these motherfuckers wearing it. This is the same with the music. They use it. They turn music into a fad thing instead of being an art, you know. And you didn't get to. You got. Don't get me wrong. There's some talented stuff out there. The J. Cole's, the Kendrick Lamar's. You know, the Eminem's on and on or whatever. And Eminem is a later class. The 50 Cent is a later class. They actually were still down with hardcore music at that point. But only a little. It had to take somebody like Dre to say that it was okay. Nobody else could say that was okay and put that out. You know, 50 wouldn't have made it through anybody else. It had to come through somebody like Dr. Dre, you know, using the Compton credibility. You know, same with the Kendrick Lamar. It came through the Dr. Dre using the Compton credibility to put out anything that's still hardcore reality rap like that. But and then, you know, J. Cole went through somebody like JC, whose word is credit. His word is his credibility is a high standard to push something out like that. But anybody else. You don't see Master P pushing anything else like that. Nobody else is pushing, giving nobody else a chance. Like me, I was open for messing with a lot of people at one point, but now I done found out how to distribute my music myself all over the world, and my fans, my true fans actually buy my music. And it's still a whole bunch of them don't even know that I'm still alive because they announced in Wikipedia that I was deceased. I walked away from banging on wax, and went and did and started working for the school district for 17 years as a youth mentor, made the newspaper and everything. Some kid came up to me in the sixth grade and said, I saw you on TV last night on YouTube. I didn't know what the hell YouTube was. I went home and looked it up and had my kids to show me what it was, and that's when I saw all the fans posting up my part from Steady Dipping and making all these comments that OG Sin Loke was the hardest and this and that and this and that. That's when I was like, oh,
yeah.
I still got life out there. And I launched a YouTube, and started networking my music again. And this was maybe like 4 or 5 years ago. And now my social media networking is out the door, and it's still got a room, big room to grow, but it's out the door now because people are finding out that I'm still around. I'm selling music, I'm selling my sound, and it's pretty decent. You heard what you heard just now. I work on metaphor. I don't just rhyme. I pattern myself to the Rakims and the real brilliant MCs out there that give you metaphor and not just making a word rhyme. And that's what a lot of West Coast or what I say rhymers that's not trying to be new but want to be old school. You can't just go out there and make words rhyme, and you can't just grab a beat. You can't just go rap to any beat. You got to feel that beat, and you also got to have metaphor in your rhyme, not just rhyming. You got to have some comparisons. You got to have, something to make a person rewind and say, oh, he said this and said that. If you don't, you just a regular MC. You just a regular rapper. And that's another thing. I don't call myself a rapper. I like to call myself an MC. That's what DJs and MCs is what it really the real terminology for it, the real term for it. When you start talking rappers, that's news media. News media made that up. Oh, former rapper such and such was arrested and this and that. Fuck that rapper shit. You either an MC or you a DJ. You're not no rapper. It's a music business. It's not the music game. I got the game on lock. And no, you can never lock the game up. The door is wide open.
Yeah.
So, we got to fix the term, fix the terminology in order to fix the business itself, so these youngsters can know what they're stepping into. And now they're just getting the door is wide open. Everybody can try to do it. Everybody can do it. There's a million ways to distribute your music out there. It's like the dope game, really. Instead of selling crack and selling weed, you can sell your tapes if you got a following, if you're that good. And there's some really good talent
right
out here that still ain't got a chance,
It's still real. A lot of real good music out here that don't get no light. Even some from a lot of who I would think would be major artists that have music out. Like the new Spice One album, I think that shit
right
is dope as fuck. You know what I'm saying?
Come
like,
on, man. Spice,
why that shit not getting played, or why they not doing this, or why they not doing that? And I just understand now that when you got real music and you got real substance, it's harder to get it out when it's so easy to get music out there.
I'm going to put it out there like this, and I'm glad you guys giving me an opportunity to do this interview. But for us as MCs, and especially on this West Coast out here, we got to quit being so selfish and self-centered around what me and what I used to do. We need to come together. We need to make a movie like they did, the East did Crush Groove. We need to make a West Coast, some kind of West Coast movie like Crush Groove.
Yeah, we got everybody involved.
Yeah, get everybody in it, a small part in it. The name and the credits alone is going to sell the movie. When you see the credits, you're like, oh, they got such and such in it. They got such and such in it. I want to see that because we all got fans. And if we all get a little part in the movie, that's going to help the movie do good. And make sure the storyline is strong and everything, and get us and pull that off. And that would probably generate the respect again, kind of like how Straight Outta Compton did three weeks in a row, number one. That put Compton back on the map. It got Straight Outta Compton albums reselling again, T-shirts, and everybody want to say they Straight Outta somewhere. Just the way that kind of sheep herded itself back into reality, we can do the same thing with our original MCs, Spice Ones and Scarfaces and everybody. All of us can actually get together, to the Dog Pound. Everybody is just doing their own thing. The top and most wanted. I mean, you know, the CPO.
Everybody.
And, you know, I mean, we just got to kind of want to do something together. It's not going to take nothing from you personally, your personal strive, and your everyday effort. It's just only going to help it until we start understanding that. And I've been talking like this for years, man. I've been trying, when I go around these brothers, I've been telling them something like this for years. And all I hear is them teaming up with each other because the ones that was in it, in the business before me, or they'll team up together, but that shit don't get nowhere. You got to count me in. I may have been a late bloomer, but I probably got more respectable than you. Fans that respect my
right.
Staff, and they ain't going to accept you by yourself unless you got me with you. You know what I mean? And vice versa. You know, we got all can use our fan base together and not just ones you think, you know. And then we also got to get away from just trying to zero in on a West Coast sound. You don't have to have just that West Coast sound. I like rapping to shit. You give me a beat with some violins in it, and they place in the right place, and some flutes and shit. I'll let it loose. You know what I mean? But we need to cover. We need to cover more sound. Just quit trying to come with a certain sound that you think modified you. That's back then. You can still keep your trueness and your metaphor. But be flexible to more sound.
Yeah, you gotta be creative with it. It's actually art, so you still
yes.
got. That's what people don't understand. This music shit is an art, man. And if they not putting no
Amen.
Creativity into it, it's just like it's just, you know, it's repetitive. Nowadays, it seems like everything is repetitive. You can't even tell where somebody from because all the music sound the same. That's what I don't.
Exactly.
That's what I really don't like about the game right now.
Now, you know,
thing.
And I know, back in the day, if you carbon copied and sounded like someone else, or you try to bite their rhymes, you got put on Front Street for it. For biting rhymes, for being a carbon copy of somebody else's style and all that stuff, your ass got chewed out for it. Now,
yeah.
They see, they don't know about this. They don't know about that time when this was happening in music. So these young generation, this new generation, they rather just try to sound like each other instead of try to create their own style. And like say, this is an art. This ain't no game. This is an art, man. You gotta dig deep. You only be alone in it if it's in your soul. It's not because you can do it. Because a whole bunch of people go, hell, I got a dog that can bark the same note and make it rhyme. Ruff 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 ruff. So a beat to it. You know what I mean?
That's
we talk about fun. Metaphor. We're talking about skill here. You know,
I'd rather buy a fucking dog's album than most of these rappers nowadays. Jesus.
Exactly.
But hell of a show, man. Hell of a show. Before you go, give everybody your social media, and if you got any product out available, let them know where they can get that.
Cool. Check this out. Worldwide. OG Sinlo Blackburn. That's all you gotta search for anything you wanna find me on. My Twitter, my Instagram, my Facebook, my YouTube. Everything is OG Sinlo Blackburn. OG space SIN space LOC space Blackburn. BLACKBURN. When you search for my music on iTunes, everything that you heard tonight and some is on iTunes. And it's under OG Sandlow Blackburn. You can't miss it. iTunes, Google Play, Xbox Live. I got over 30 stores online digital. If you want to buy something in hard copy, you can order it through Amazon.com. I got two CDs, two full albums available on Amazon.com. And somehow my first single, Hear Me Knocking, got put out as an album on there. You don't have to buy that one, but if you want it in your collector's piece, they charging $9 or $8.99 for that one song on that out on a hardcover CD. I bought it. I didn't care. I bought it anyway because it's a collector's piece. It was my first single. The song ain't got no bridges in it. It's street through, and it's a world song.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's relevant for life. But anyway, yeah, OG Cello Blackburn is everything that you can find me under. You Google it, it'll pop up with everything you need to know about OG Sin, no doubt.
Man, that's what I'm talking about. We're going to leave him with Dead on the Ass. Tell him about that track.
What we had? What you got?
I got Dead on the Ass. Tell him.
Here, I'll play this.
You got time to get dead on their ass?
Classic.
Let me get some shout-outs. Yeah, that's the classic, man. Let me get some shout-outs to Black Jason on that one. He was on there. Let me give a shout-out to my boy Gator Dutch. I got an album I did with him that's available, too. It's called From Chi-Town to Compton, because we've been speaking on a lot of Chi-Town. It's called From Chi-Town to Compton, Windy City Gangbang. Gator Dutch, you can check that out. It's available on the website that I told you, all the internet downloading music sites and Amazon, you can find it there. Time to Get Dead on the Ass was actually a soundtrack that I was trying to write for the movie Rosewood.
Oh,
if
wow.
You guys are familiar with the Rosewood movie?
Yeah,
I was
talking
to people, and I was trying to get that as a soundtrack on that movie. And I guess I made it. I made the call too late, but I had the song finished. So I end up throwing that on the Smell of Smoke and See the Fire album, and man, I like to let y'all know that it is a soundtrack, so don't take it personal far as a racist thing. But if you've seen the movie Rosewood and then you listen to that song "Time to Get Dead on the Ass," you'll actually know that what I was trying to do with that piece right there. But man, I didn't know you had that one. Word uplifted though.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, it was a huge honor. And then this Thursday, we got this Straight Left out of Compton roundtable. If you want to be a part of that, man, please feel free to call in. It starts at 7 p.m. your time. We're going to have a lot of people. Clientele is going to be there. We should have a lot. I think J.J. Fad's going to be on there.
That's my girls, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people. We're going to try to get as many people as we can. Going to try to get Cocaine. Going to try to get whoever felt that they was left straight out of Compton, man, they could be in there. And it's not just about the movie. It's just there's a lot of people that came from Compton. You know, if DJ Quick wanted to call in or, you know, someone like that, they could, because there's a lot of people that didn't get any shine at all, you know, from the city
real
of Compton.
Talk, man.
OG Suicide.
Yeah,
you know OG Suicide?
Yeah, that's my boy, man. Shout out to him. Shout out to Quick. Shout out to
Don
man.
Sizzle,
everybody.
Man.
Dick to the boys. Shout out to Sizzle.com. Shout out to everybody, man. You know, your boy here is a human unity, human first, man, worldwide, too. It ain't just like in my neighborhood. I want the world to fix what's broken.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Most definitely. Well, hey, man, you take care of yourself. Thanks again for calling in, man. Appreciate you.
Likewise, man. I got a pork chop dinner.
I
just finished. I don't eat pork chops for 6 months. I don't really. It's nothing that we normally eat in our household. But since it was the holiday, my wife and them wanted me to make this. So, about to, they said everything came out good. I just finished the cornbread when we started the show. So I'm about to get my plate on, man. Love y'all, man.
Enjoy your meal, man. Enjoy your meal, Sin.
All right, sure. Man.
Take care of yourself. No. Hey, hell of a show, Mac J, man. Hell of a show. I'm glad you reached out to Sin Loke, because it's one of those shows that had to be done, man. He's definitely well deserving of joining our archive, man. Real talk. You know.
No doubt.
But
yeah,
and it's
still smoke people out there. We're trying to get to. I'm still looking on the motherfucking East Coast. East Coast motherfuckers, if y'all listening to this shit, you know what I'm saying? And we're not talking about you show-stealing motherfuckers on the East Coast. We're talking about some of the legends and the pioneers, you know what I'm saying?
Grandmaster Kaz on the show. That's going back to the early 70s, man. You know what I'm saying? If he could come on the show, you know, got 200 episodes deep. Actually, tonight's 210. We whipped through another 10 episodes. Got another 90 to go till we hit 300. We got this West Coast Roundtable Thursday. We got some real big shows coming up. I'm not going to say who exactly until everything's solidified. But, You know, holler at DMC, get at DMC, let him know to come on the show, man. Let the see, a lot of people are afraid of the show because they think that we're some type of, they might think that we're on some slanderous shit or something because certain guests have made controversial statements on our show. Hey, the media is going to pick and choose what they want. Would I rather have the media take 2 seconds of a clip from somebody that said something real controversial, or would I rather have them cover a round table that was historical, or Bushwick Bill and Reddy Red talking about Bushwick taking in Red when he had nowhere to go? I would rather have them do that, but the media is going to pick and choose what they want. That's the lamestream
right.
media for you. That's the Vlaggets of the world. But at the same token, press is press.
Vlaggets.
Our name is mentioned.
Yeah.
Our link is mentioned, you know, that's what matters to us, you know, so, you know, we're going to keep doing what we got to do. A lot of big shows coming up in the future. But if you want to be on the show, you know, I get a lot of people that want to get people on the show too. Like, oh man, why don't you interview this guy or that guy or bring him, bring some money to the table. Let's break some bread.
Right.
You know, man, I don't care what
exactly.
you got. I've had people, oh, but such and such, he did this and he did that. And I don't give a fuck. He needs to pay me. I don't give a fuck what he did 25 years ago. You know, I mean, that's what we're about. Don't get me wrong. We're about the preservation of this real shit. And we like to showcase what artists have done. You know, like tonight's
right,
when it's always
give me. I don't mind giving you, but sometimes you got to give, too. So, shit.
You got to give, too.
You know, because
we've
been giving.
There's a lot of people, too. They like to, try to get who they, you got to get this guy on the show and that guy. I had somebody come to me and say, you need to get such and such on the show because he was related to somebody. And it's like, I don't give a fuck who he was related to. Pay me.
Right.
Pay me, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Pay me. This ain't a goddamn charity event. We're going to interview who we want to interview. And there's a lot of people that help us bring good people to the show. I can't complain.
Right.
So, it's not just done by us. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I get the guests. Sometimes you get the guests. Sometimes Sin will bring somebody in. Sometimes Miguel will bring somebody in. Shout out to Alan Walker over there in the West Coast. He brings people into the show. There's a lot of these guys that hit us up, and I had one guy hit me up. Hey, you need to bring these two artists on because they're related to somebody on the new No Limit Records. It's like, oh, they're related to somebody who gives a fuck? I don't care if they're related to them. Get the fuck out of here with that shit. This is it's entertainment. You know, we do respect the fans. We do bring music to them. We bring shows to them because we're fans ourselves, like you said. We bought these fucking records of these artists that we bring on the show. But at the end of the day, bring some money. Bring me some people that have some money in their pockets. Nothing's free. You're not going to get a free beat out of Skinny. You're not going to get free audio out of Jerry. You're not going to get free covers and artwork out of Six. You're not going to get free.
These so-called wannabe rappers. We had a 68-year-old singer on the show last night that's
Bishop
grinding harder than half
on the
these
show.
Yeah.
He just got
that's
done. He just got done doing a show, signing a bitch's ass cheek, and he had time to call into our show
about that.
While he was eating chicken and drinking beer. And he's 68. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Some of you rappers are barely 20. You can't remember when the fucking show is. I forgot.
Right.
Go fuck yourself. This is Dead on the Ass by OG Sin Loke. Check out his music, man. OG Sin Loke, Blackburn, get at him. And go to the website, UGSforLife.com. Shout out to Dome. He's doing a hell of a job on the website. We'll see you guys this Thursday. We'll see you guys also Saturday, KFYB, 7 p.m. Central. And then Church of Reality, 9 p.m. Central on Sunday. Don't know what we're going to bring you on Sunday yet, but if you got a horror story you want to tell, I mean, if you had some fucked up shit happen to you, were you an altar boy and Pastor Peter touched your Peter, tell your story on the show. Come on the show. I mean, you were a rape victim. Did someone smash you in the face with a brick and stab you and you survived? Let's hear your horror story on the Church of Reality. That's what it's for. It's real. We've had sex slaves come under. We had a lady who survived a genocide in fucking Rwanda. A million people died in that thing. We had her on here talking about the horrors of her losing family members and shit like that. Come on the show and tell your horror story. Dead on their motherfucking ass. OG Sin, look, we're out of here. See you, Mac. You just your life.
Before I get started tonight, I'd like to say that God is to me. God is everything. Everything I have and everything I am, I owe to God. Now that I done said that,
hey, hey! Time to get dead on the ass.
What you saying,
it's time to get dead with that.
Nigga, what you wanna do?
It's time to get dead on the ass.
Tell what you saying,
it's time to get dead with that.
Nigga, what you wanna do?
It's time to get dead on the ass.
Tell what you saying,
it's time to get dead with that.
Nigga, what you wanna do?
It's time to get dead on the ass. Call me a nine in a double fucking clip, cause I'm about to get up in your motherfucking shit. Coming at your ass the master minute, getting on your motherfucking nerves like Dennis. You should take my words and never take me light, cause I'ma be the nightmare of your motherfucking life. I don't really think you know who or what the fuck you're dealing with, but I'ma play Shaq up in the middle, straight stopping your shit. You getting mad, you really can't handle my D. I'ma hit you with the semi automatically. You wanna step, nigga? You better come collect. You see, I mean, a long distance when it come to respect. So put your head in your motherfucking lap and listen to the bone in your back go snap. I'm ready to bang heads with any motherfucker that leaves. So bring your rope, your mirrors, and your white sheet. Check them, cause it's time to get dead on the ass.
What you saying,
Sam? It's time to get serious with the ass.
Nigga, what you wanna do?
It's time to get dead on the ass.
Tell me what you saying, Sam?
It's time to get serious with the ass.
Nigga, what you wanna do?
It's time to get dead on the ass.
Tell me what you saying, Sam?
It's time to get serious with the ass.
Nigga, what you wanna do?
It's time to get dead on the ass.
Tell me what you saying, Sam?
I'm finna get involved with that.
You better watch your back, motherfucker, cause the shit don't end. The return of Black Jason, it's on again, yeah. I'm bringing motherfucking fear to the scene, nigga. And killing off anything by any means. I've been away and I still got him scared. Nobody visit my motherfucking camp in 5 years. I got him thinking that my dead or alive. Take a chance with your life at the lake when nobody survives. The night prowler, come to cut your throat. It's a era of terror, dog side of Mr. Sin Low. Bringing the motherfucking fright to a nigga's night. And in the day, got you worried about the next night. Cause on the day when they murdered my mom, it's been hard to stay calm. So now the war is on. I use the motherfucking mic as a tool to kill. And that's the goddamn real.
Cause it's time to get dead on the ass. And if I was a drink, I'd be a black Russian, rushing your motherfucking ass to the turf. Fuck kissing ass, I'd rather kiss dirt. Now we can do the dance in the middle of the street, and I can put you down with no motherfucking heat. But if you want to fail to return to your family, then your ass will leave this motherfucker as a trap. I'm a mean motherfucker when it comes to the green. Fuck going around shit, I run the ball up the steam. Drop a bomb like a motherfucking rock, and you'll never see me overheating when I'm hot. And yeah, it's all bad when you fucking with the man in the mask. I'll be that mask motherfucker to put my foot in your ass. I'm telling you, Jackson, let's get ready for the war. Cause I'ma get these motherfuckers strictly what they came here for. Cause it's time to get dead on the ass.
What you saying, Sam?
It's time to get serious with the ass.
Nigga, what you wanna do?
It's time to get dead on the ass.
Tell me what you saying, Sam?
It's time to get dead with the ass.
Nigga, what you wanna do?
It's time to get dead on the ass.
Tell me what you saying, Sam?
It's time to get serious with the ass.
Nigga, what you wanna do?
It's time to get dead on the ass.
Tell me what you saying, Sam?
I'm finna break bread with the ass. It's time to get dead on the ass.
What you saying, Sam?
It's time to get serious with the ass.
Nigga, what you wanna do?
It's time to get dead on the ass.
Yeah, 1999. This Rosewood shit got me pissed off. Dark Side and Black Jason. We don't stop. It don't quit. We living in it.
Yeah, Mac, we ain't done yet. We ain't done yet. That was a dope ass song. I really like that shit. That got me crazy over here. But we gotta leave him with some Bishop. You know, we can't let him go without hearing either Hail to the Gnaw or Some Preacher Say Shit. I'll let you pick it, Mac. Which one do you want to ride out to?
Well,
Hell to the no, man. Because what he said last night, he said every now and then when you're busy getting out, get on your head, all you got to do is hit him with the mm-hmm. You just got to hit him with, you got to hit him with that hum, that moan, he said.
Oh, man, that was classic. That was classic. That was one of the best. And, you know, when I was writing, I didn't, like, just focus. I mean, it got to the point where I just got tired of doing rap interviews over and over again. That's when I started doing, you know, interviews with different people and sports and film and street-orientated, stuff like that, you know. So it's always good to interview somebody outside the box, and Bishop was the first. I never interviewed anybody like Bishop Bullwinkle. What a fucking name,
yeah.
First. Bishop Bullwinkle.
Thought he was a real, we all thought he was a real preacher, too.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, oh, man, I'm a comedian.
Skinny thought you were a preacher. He was like, oh. You know, so here's Hell to the Gnaw by Bishop Bullwinkle. You just heard OG Sin Loke. We'll see you guys this Wednesday, this Thursday. I don't even know what day it is. Hope everybody had a good Labor Day. Shit, we're out of here. Take it easy, Mac. UGS for life.
UGS for life.
Come on, come on, come on. Here we go. My name, Bishop Bullwinkle, from the First Church, nothing but the truth. Deacon Kyle, Deacon George, Deacon Clay, open the door, let them in, turn them loose. First, I want to thank God for the blood running warm in my veins. That's all right, thank God for my life, health, and strength. I got a sound mind, I'm not insane. Come on, come on! I ain't gonna preach too long, ain't gonna take the service too far. My sermon this morning, hell to the no, no, no. Come on, come on, come on. Hell no, to the no, no, no. Hell to the no, hell to the no, 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 no. Listen, Sister Edda, Sister Ruth, y'all, let's just make sure that everybody get a seat. Sister Lily may go in the kitchen, cause when it gets through, I need to eat. Come on! Fix me collard greens and cornbread and rice. Chicken breast, oxtails on the side. That's all right. Deacon Frank, get my dark truck ready, cause when it gets through, I need to ride. Deacon Big Rob, count the money, come back. Tell me what you raised. I got the people day looking for some blessings, but now God got to get the praise.
Woo!
There's an old saying, when the praises go up, you get the blessing coming down.
Yeah,
I got some peoples in the church, and they still, they're messing around. Hell no, to the no, no, no. Hell to the no, hell to the no, to the no, 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 no. Listen, I got peoples in the church today hugging you. They claim that they love you to death. They'll do that. But time to get home, they on the telephone talking about they can't stand your breath. Yeah, I got peoples in the church smoking weed, drinking whiskey, drinking vodka, a lot of gin.
What you say?
I got the preacher with the night prayer meeting talking about can I get an amen.
Talk to him.
Every Sunday morning, about a quarter, about a half past ten.
Come on.
I got some faggots, got some bull daggers. I got some hoes and dope asses, they're coming in.
That's right, that's right.
And now they're laying at the altar, and they confess the sin, their sin, yeah.
Come on, bitch.
The time you see them Monday morning, doing the same thing again.
Come on.
Hell no, to the no, no, no. Hell to the no, hell to the no. To the no, 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 listen. I got kids dropping out of school, talking about they don't want to learn. But they're standing on the corner, rolling blunts, talking about come on, let's burn. They'll do that. I got kids walking up and down the street, pants hanging down by the knees.
Look at them, look at them.
Talking about that, they're looking for a job. When I see them, I say, did it, bug, please.
That's what they need to
see. All they ever talk about, brag about who got the biggest and the baddest gun. Time to see the copper with the bubble top. And they drop the Glock, they wanna run.
Yeah.
And now the sheriff got them locked up. Got them sitting in the county jail.
What now?
Heard the mama, she was crying all night, cause she can't get money for the bill. Now they're mad with the homeboys, cause they didn't put no money in the commissary.
Yeah, yeah.
Be glad you're in the jail, brother man, cause you were sure headed for the cemetery.
That's a fight.
There's an old saying, that a hard head make a soft behind.
Yeah, yeah.
But since you did the crime, don't do the time, stop the baby crying. Hell no, to the no, no, no. Hell to the no, hell to the no, to the no, 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 no. Hell no, no, to the no, no. Hell to the no, no.
To the no.